This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Thought the Rockies did a solid for the Padres last night in the inning where they actually scored their only run against Dylan Cease. Welcome back. It's Ben and Woods. Take on Woods coming up here in a couple of minutes. Bottom of the fourth inning. Charlie Blackmon leads off with a double. The only hit, the only base runner off Dylan Cease. Ezekiel Tovar, who has been their best, hottest player so far this season, then laid down a bunt and got Charlie Blackmon over to third. And I think conventional baseball wisdom would go, good play. Got him over to third, sacrifice fly. They scored the run. Effective, little ball, small baseball. That's the way you do it. And I don't know if Bud Black called for that or if Tovar did it himself.
Don't you?
I don't know. Nope. What do you think?
I think he called for it.
You think he called for it?
Yes.
But ultimately, and here's why, I know Woods is not a fan of the sacrifice bunt, and I am not a fan of the sacrifice bunt either. If you could replay that game and you're Bud Black or Ezekiel Tovar and you know, we're having trouble scoring at all against this guy, and one run's probably not going to win it. You may have played yourself out of a bigger inning. Tovar may come up and follow it up with another extra base hit or a home run or something else. You've taken the bat out of the hands of the guy who has been your most productive offensive player early in the season and given an automatic out to the other team. And even though it was a productive out, and even though it did lead to one run, you are playing at Coors Field.
Correct.
And the Padres, even though they struggled to score, they could have scored 7-8 easily last night. That one run, it's not worth it, especially in a game like that, to give up an out, to play for the one run. That was successful. There's also the possibility that you mess up the bunt, and it doesn't work out.
It's tapping us over and over.
It happens many times. And that is why, to me, the sacrifice bunt and, you know, the statistical analysis will show it is a negative EV play, negative expected value when you give up the out just to move the base runner over. Does that mean there's not a situation here or there, a tie game, bottom of the ninth inning, you want to get the runner to third with less than two outs, you feel confident the guy who's behind him is going to be able to put the ball in play and score the run? Yes, I am willing to entertain that argument. I'm not.
It's player dependent.
I'm not militant about it. It is player dependent. But in this case, it's also player dependent that the guy who is up and has been one of your best hitters all season long and is a left-handed batter. Oh, no, he's a right-handed batter. Yeah. He is a right-handed, which is, okay, that's against Dylan Cease. Maybe that's part of the equation. But you take the bat out of his hand. He's got an 820 OPS. You get your run, but you get nothing else. Now, is that going to be enough in a game like that?
Right.
I thought that was a favor done by Bud Black / Ezekiel Tovar to the Padres.
Some other favors done last night. Doug Eddings, who's traditionally terrible. His calls actually went in favor of the Padres a lot last night. But big day for umpires yesterday in big league baseball. And it's been...
Don't do this, teams.
I know it's recency bias, I'm sure. But it's I feel like it's getting progressively worse. I do. And I will probably say that for the next... How long's our contract? There are like 2.5 years left. At least for 2.5 more years, I'll be saying that it's getting progressively worse until something is done about it. I'm sure we will talk about Hunter Wendelstedt. And don't do this today. Could do an hour on one of the weirdest things I've seen in baseball in the last couple of years, certainly. But yeah, Doug Eddings was not great behind the dish last night, but a lot of them went in the Padres' favor. So we'll take it. He's gotten us many times.
Do you think that they will go to the automated strike zone before that 2.5 years is up? By the 2026 season, will Major League Baseball have adopted some sort of automatic strike zone, whether it's for every pitch or whether it's the challenge system that they're testing in the minor leagues right now?
That's what I like. That's what I would like to see, a challenge system, more so, even more so than a robo-ump back there. Just, you know, you throw a pitch and you hear, bing, or whatever, however they decided. Because I'd like it to be accurate, as possible. But I also love the idea of popping your head, guy upstairs takes a look, strike, ball, whatever.
But if you know you can be 100% accurate.
Yeah, if you
go through the whole rigmarole of a challenge system?
I just feel like
what happens the first time? I assume, and I'm not sure how it's working in the minor league. I assume you get some sort of limited number of challenges.
Yeah,
they're not
challenge every pitch.
Unlimited.
Right.
So what happens after the umpire who's been bad the first couple of innings and you've already used all your challenges up continues to make mistakes the rest of the game? Are we all just going to be okay with that then?
I have no idea. I think you pick your spots. I think you pick your spots in big moments. And if it's nobody on, nobody out.
But sometimes the game has five big moments.
But if
the umpire makes a mistake in all of them, are you telling a team, it's too bad, but you just don't have enough challenges anymore?
Nobody on, nobody out in the third inning. You're up. You got an 0-2 count. Guy rings one up. It's a little inside. Maybe you sit on that one, right? You come up in the fifth inning, sixth inning, and there's runners on second, third, and there's two strikes, and one's up. You think it's up. You challenge it. Ball.
I agree with you. You'll have to be judicious in your use, but I also promise you that within the first couple of weeks, there will be a situation where a team effectively uses a couple of challenges in big situations with the bases loaded, and yet it'll still come down to a tie game and a horrible call by an umpire, and then they'll be out of challenges, and we'll go, what are we doing here? We have the technology to get it right, and yet we insist on using a system that allows us to get it wrong in big moments late in the game. That's why I feel ultimately a challenge system is not going to be the most effective way to go.
It's something. At this point, it is something and better than what we're seeing out there. Now, I don't know that you'll ever be able to get rid of sensitivity and rabbit-eared umpires. That's going to be around forever. Guys, managers will still get run. They'll get run for barking at the first base umpire. They'll get wrong for barking at the second base umpire, the third base umpire, whatever. It's going to still happen. I mean, you saw the call last night. I think it was Xander Bogaerts that hit the ball. He was out by 10 feet. He wasn't even in the frame. And the first baseman has his foot planted on the bag. He has to go into foul territory to make the catch. Easiest call in the world. Xander's not even in the frame, and he calls.
Yeah, I don't think he thought Xander beat it. I thought
no. He thought he came off the bag.
He thought the guy was off the bag,
but he was on the bag for two seconds.
He was. I know the umpire was on the other side and maybe screened just a little bit by the base, and thought that he had already pulled himself off.
Crazy.
I mean, that's why I'm glad they have replay systems. Yeah,
even though that went against us,
you would never want that to go against your team.
No kidding.
On a play that's obvious, that can be fixed.
Yeah, terrible.
Just like the Jim Joyce no hit call at the end would have been such an easy fix at the end of the game for a no hitter
and make that
perfect game.
Perfect game.
That's right. Perfect game.
It's tough, dude. It's really really tough. And you know, I know it's a hard job. They get a lot more right than they get wrong. I absolutely understand that. But when we talk about the Hunter Wendelstadt scene in Don't Do This coming up in about 20 minutes, that stuff can't happen. It just can't happen on a professional level. It just can't. It can't happen.
Need a contestant for Take on Woods. We're going to play here in a couple of minutes. 833-288-0973. It's our musical trivia game. Tier 1 v. Woods for a chance to qualify for a trip to Las Vegas and tickets to Kool and the Gang. Call now, 833-288-0973. No Dodgers last night. They were off, which means Padres are now half game out of first place after the win. Diamondbacks lost to the Cardinals, who rallied from a 3-0 deficit and got a walk-off home run from Nolan Gorman. I guess they sounded, I was watching a little bit of that game, their announcer sounded like the Padres last year. They couldn't get a hit in a big situation, been a few days, and finally they broke through. Paul Goldschmidt got a home run to tie it, and then Nolan Gorman got the walk-off home run as they won that one 5-3. Giants beat the Mets 5-2 last night as well in the NL West. Little update from what happened last night.
So, scoreboard watching, baby.
Early in the season. I know. Padres will continue their series against the Rockies again, 5:40 this evening, 4:40 Equal Water SoCal pregame show. Michael King coming off an outstanding, his best performance of the season in his last start. He'll try his luck at Coors Field. I'd say follow whatever model Dylan Cease just did and do the same thing. He'll go up against Ryan Feltner in game two of the series. And even with Manny on the paternity list, we said it yesterday, you got to win this series. You got to take 3 out of 4. Good start by taking the first game. Now you got to take at least 2 out of the next 3. Make sure you win this series. And I thought Craig made a good point in Elston. And he said, and we kind of talked about this early in the year, but he said the NL West, the second place team, assuming the Dodgers still win the division, will be decided by the number of wins against the Dodgers subtracted by the number of losses against the Rockies. So the more wins against the Dodgers you can steal.
Yep.
And the fewer losses against the Rockies you can avoid for the Giants, the Diamondbacks, and the Padres, that will likely be a difference maker at the end of the year. And he said Padres are now +3 in that category. They've beaten the Dodgers 3 times. Yeah. They have lost to the Rockies 0 times. So the closest to 0 you can remain against the Rockies in losses this year will help you big time in trying to get at least a wild card spot at the end of the season.
I thought the Rockies, you know, look, they always seemingly play the Padres pretty tough, especially at Coors Field. And man,
I was shocked to learn that now Padres have won 16 of 22.
Me too.
Against the Rockies.
Me too. I saw that stat last night as well. And I'm like, oh man, what am I stuck 4 years ago or something?
But we all are.
I think we all are. But they didn't play terrible baseball. You know, they made actually some really, really nice plays. And Crony got robbed on a really nice play from local kid, Sean Bouchard.
A double play with the glove flip.
Brendan Rodgers made. Oh, my God. I knew that ball was up the middle. Brilliant play. The scoop, the flip was incredible. So they play tough. They do. They're a big league ball club, and they want to win games, too.
Yeah, they're a bad team, but they still have big leaguers on their team.
100%.
Never forget that. They can always beat you. All right, I see we got some people calling in. Let's get to it. It is time to play Take on Woods.
It's time for Take on Woods.
Take on Woods. Woods.
Take on Woods brought to you by Valvoline Instant Oil Change. It only takes 15 minutes. You don't have to get out of your car. For directions and discounts, go to SoCalOilChange.com. That's SoCalOilChange.com. And let's go with, how about Sean today? Sean, are you there?
Hello.
All right, you're in. You're our contestant for Take on Woods. You know how the game works?
All right. Yes, sir.
All right, good enough. If you can beat or tie Woods over our 5 questions, we'll put you into the drawing for the 2-night stay at the Westgate Las Vegas Resort and Casino and the tickets to Cool and the Gang available now at Ticketmaster.com. Here are the categories today. Royal titles, 5-song titles or artists that include a British royal title in their name, you know, like King. Take on Woods, we got No Lefts, All Right. That would be 5-song titles that include the word or phrase all right. And our new category today is S-E-X. 5-song titles or artists that begin with the word sex. All right, here we go. Royal titles, No Lefts, All Right, or S-E-X. What would you like to play, Sean?
Good Lord.
Let's go with No Lefts, All Right.
No Lefts, All Right. Today's game, maybe a tribute to Carving Guy. All right. Features 5-song titles that include the word or phrase. All right. Somewhere in there. You'll have 60 seconds. If you don't know one, say pass. We'll get to the next question. We'll come back to anything you didn't have time for if there is time left on the clock at the end. 2-second song. I need you to identify both the title and the artist of this first one for the point. Sean, are you ready to play?
Let's give her a go.
All right. 60 seconds on the clock in the category No Lefts. All right. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Sean. Let's take on Woods.
I'll come back to that.
All right, what's the title of the song Kenny Loggins wrote as the theme for the movie Caddyshack?
I'm All Right.
Correct. It's hard not to feel good when listening to which 1970s song that was the biggest hit for the English rock band Free?
All Right Now.
Correct. Which 1973 Elton John hit is about a weekend of drinking that gets a little out of hand?
Saturday Night's All Right.
Keep going. Correct. The title of which 1999 hit for The Offspring is the opposite of the title of a 1965 song by The Who?
The Kids Are All Right.
The opposite.
I think he missed it.
That's okay. Let's go back to the 2-second song. Get you the artist.
Oh, this is Joe Cocker. Feeling All Right.
Feeling All Right. Correct. Oh, is that the only one that he missed in the end? I know it was tricky, but I tried to explain it. It's The Kids Aren't All Right. Not The Kids Are All Right, which was the Who song, but The Offspring is The Kids Aren't All Right. I hope that doesn't decide it for you. I feel bad about that. All right, that's a 4, though. Stay on the line there, Sean. We'll see what Woods thinks at the end of the game. All right, fair enough. All right, 60 seconds back on the clock. Same 5 questions. Your time begins when Paul plays the music. Good luck, Woods. Let's take on Sean.
It's Joe Cocker. Feeling all right?
Correct. What's the title of the song Kenny Loggins wrote as the theme for the movie Caddyshack?
I'm all right.
Correct. It's hard not to feel good when listening to which 1970s song that was the biggest hit for the English rock band Free?
All Right Now.
Correct. Which 1973 Elton John hit is about a weekend of drinking that gets a little out of hand?
Saturday Night's All Right for Fighting.
Correct. The title of which 1999 hit for The Offspring is the opposite of the title of a 1965 song by The Who?
All right. Crap, I don't know.
You don't know that one.
My taint is all right.
It is correct. That is correct. No, it's not. That is not right. Which means, Sean, congratulations. You have qualified.
He won?
4-4.
Oh, God.
And he could have been 5. He said the kids are all right, which is the Who song, but it's the kids aren't
all right
by The Offspring. Either way, you are in, Sean. Stay on the line. Paulie will get your information. We will put you into the drawing.
That was tough.
Las Vegas.
That was a good match.
Tough category. No laughs. All right. For Carving Guy,
all right, yeah. Carving
Guy. Good job, Sean.
All right.
Well played game of Take on Woods.
I love Carving Guy.
We've already kind of teased our biggest story for Don't Do This.
Yeah, we have.
Which is the umpire situation yesterday. Huntel Wendelstadt against Aaron Boone in New York. That's coming up next after a check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
Oh, I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot. You moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Don't Do This is brought to you by the Kraft Taco in Sereno Valley. The Kraft Taco has some of the best quality tacos in all of San Diego. Go to thekrafttaco.com, take a look at their happy hour specials today. It's thekrafttaco.com. All right, I will start Don't Do This before we get to Aaron Boone with a story we haven't really discussed yet, but it involves a musical artist, Bad Bunny. That is the stage name of Benito Antonio Martinez Ocasio, and his an effort to become an agent in Major League Baseball, start a sports agency called Rima Sports. But it's already come under a lot of
Rimas.
R-I-M-A-S.
I don't know if I want to sign with a agency called Rimas. Bends you over agency.
Well,
Rimas.
Depends, I guess, who it is.
Rimi agency.
So they've already been facing some charges of, and I didn't realize what was going on. I saw that they were having trouble getting certified. Yesterday, though, an arbitrator denied a request for a temporary restraining order. They're looking to do business with big clients like Ronald Acuna Jr., who signed with them. Ezekiel Tovar of the Rockies, we talked about him earlier, is also another one of their early clients. But apparently, they have been accused of offering gifts and cash to players to, like, leave their current agencies to come over, and that is a big no-no in the world of agents. You can steal clients, but you can't outright just say, hey, we'll give you $500,000 to come over to our agency.
Yeah.
That is against the rules that govern all the kind of the agent ethics, and they have not been certified by the MLBPA. So while like Acuna is represented for like marketing deals, they can't actually like negotiate contracts or anything until they get certified. And at this point, it doesn't look like it may ever happen based on these accusations and the lawsuit and the inability to even get a temporary restraining order. So, you know, Bad Bunny is trying to do what Jay-Z did it basically first. With his
Rock Nation.
With his
is that
agency.
Still going strong?
Oh, yeah.
Doing
yeah.
well? Good.
Yeah. So he. Is this Bad Bunny?
Yeah.
That's his Tatis shout out from a couple years ago.
Oh, that's right. Yeah. which now seems like maybe a long-term play to try to get him to sign with Bad Bunny as an agent. Hey, I'll put him in a song. Maybe he'll join me when I open my agency here in a couple of years.
Boy, we have an agent, Ben, and I mean, somebody offers me $500,000, I'm out. So you know right now. Under the table as it gets. I hope he's not listening right now.
I don't know that that would be an economically wise decision by any agent.
No.
Because, you know, I mean, if you sign Acuna, you give him $500,000. Eventually, you know, if he signs,
yeah, you're gonna clean
you know,
up
another $300 million deal. You're gonna make up that in big time in the agent fees.
You'll make about $1,400 off of us. Yeah, about $1,400 return on your investment. All right, so let's go to Yankee Stadium yesterday, and one of the wilder scenes happened early. I didn't even know they had an early game yesterday. Adam texts us. I'm like, what is this, from last night? No, it was from yesterday afternoon. Hunter Wendelstedt behind the dish yesterday. So there was some hubbub there in the first inning.
Two pitches into the game.
Two pitches
like the
into
beginning
the game.
Of the game.
Yep. And Hunter Wendelstedt was not having any jawing whatsoever from Aaron Boone. Who Aaron Boone is, you know, he gets run a lot, and he's pretty chatty.
Guys are savages in the box.
Yeah, he's pretty chatty over there. So guy got hit on the foot. Hunter checked it. Something made them not happy. So he looks over and he says, look, I did what I'm supposed to do. I checked. That's my job. Not another word.
Boone. Is the first base umpire you saw making that.
I mean, there's like nobody there.
There's nobody there.
The field mics picked up.
It's at like noon.
Everything.
Yeah.
Is the first base umpire you saw making
Guess
that
what?
Call?
You're not yelling at me. I did what I'm supposed to do and check. I'm looking for him to get hit by the pitch. Got anything else to say? You're gone. Okay.
Oh, okay.
He turns him a thumbs up. Got you. I read you loud and clear. He just stands there silently and just watches.
One more pitch.
One more pitch.
Well, you know what? We're not going to need a John Boy breakdown of that one. We got a very clear. There you go.
He throws him. Aaron, you're done. And runs it. And Boone was just sitting there chewing gum, big old shades on, watching the game.
I mean, the video coming into the dugout.
It's clear as day.
He doesn't. So, his lips don't move.
Turns out. A Yankee fan, Cameron Maven probably loves this Yankee fan, by the way, was yelling to the field, and Wendelstedt thought it was Boone and ran him. And Boone comes out, he's incredulous, obviously, because he didn't say anything. And he's got the hands up. I didn't say anything. I don't say it twice, dude.
Thought Mike Schilt was going to hit that umpire on Saturday night. I thought
Boone was close.
He was just going to spear him.
He was really
there you go. And now Aaron's saying, I didn't say anything.
So then after the game, they go to Hunter Wendelstedt. Now, he did not see the replay yet, but he said apparently what he said was there's a above the dugout. This isn't my first ejection. In the entirety of my career, I've never ejected a player or manager for something a fan has said.
Now you have.
I understand that's going to be part of a story because that's what Aaron was portraying. I heard something come from the far end of the dugout. Had nothing to do with his area, but he's the manager of the Yankees, so he's the one that had to go. Even when Aaron came out and argued his case, he goes, I don't care who said it. I'm throwing
Aaron saying,
in.
Hold on a second. I didn't say a word.
Yeah, what do you mean you don't care?
I did not say anything.
It's very
okay. I did not say a
And then they kill the mics.
Sounds very familiar.
After all that, then they kill the mics. Yeah. I didn't say a
word. So Hunter Wendelstedt, who, by the way,
I did not say anything, Hunter.
He runs an umpire school.
Oh!
He runs an umpiring school. That is like, he's the Hunter
Wendelstedt School of Umpiring?
School of Umpiring. Again, look, you're going to miss calls. You're going to blow calls. I think accountability. We want it from our players. I think we need it from our umpires, too. And are they the least accountable, other than politicians, are they the least accountable American citizens? MLB umpires.
They're well protected.
Massively. The mafia doesn't protect their guys. They're made guys as much as umpires are protected. You ever see an umpire miss a game, get suspended a game for doing something goofy? Never.
So what Hunter Wendelstedt should have obviously done was just ignore what was going on and continue to do his job and umpire the game.
For so many reasons. First of all, it's the first batter of the game. Lighten crazy. Up, dude. Like, lighten the F up.
The Cavaliers.
Totally.
Everything that he said after the game, when we've all now seen
Everybody's seen it.
Heard the audio, yep. It's clear as day. It still sucks that Booney got rung in the first inning of the game, but if the umpire comes out after the game and is just like, you know what?
I blew it.
That was on me.
Yep.
I apologize. Like, we move on.
The one thing I did agree with Hunter Wendelstedt on is when he said, I'd rather eject the manager than a player.
Yeah.
Sure, yeah.
Early in the game.
And, I guess.
You know, if you want to say, hey, I'm just making the manager responsible for anything that comes out of the dugout.
Yeah.
I'm okay with that. You just make sure it's actually coming out of the dugout and not out of the stands.
Could be a trainer, a player,
right.
Whatever. And, if it's from the dugout, fine.
In that sense, yeah, I'd rather have them throw out a manager who ultimately is not going to have that big of an impact on the game compared to a player. So that I actually approve of. But, yeah, make sure it's actually someone who's in the dugout before you give someone the heave-ho after three pitches of a ball game.
Yeah, and then it's kind of connected, the doo-doo this for today.
Yeah, it was such a great tweet.
One of the best
I've seen. Giuseppe is a guy that we know, and he's very active on baseball Twitter. He drew a box.
The strike zone
on Aaron Boone. Then the fan who said whatever he said and got Aaron Boone run, he drew a ball like it's the circle where the pitch was. And he says, at least umps are consistent. And
it's about 10 inches high.
I die. I mean, Jeff Passan retweeted it. You know what I mean? It is just one of the better tweets you will ever see, ever. And I was very mad that I didn't think of it. But
very clever.
Yeah, very clever. Interesting day for umpires, as it usually is. They really like being the story every single day.
And that's Don't and Do This for a Tuesday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, we'll come back. More Padres talk on the way. If you want to join us, 833-288-0973 as the Padres improve their record to 13-12. If you're in our chat, you're seeing that tweet. The picture from Giuseppe, that was brilliance right there. And then Jesse Agler will join us in 1 hour from now, play a little Incorporator with the voice of the Padres. All ahead with Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. I always get a little bit nervous day before.
Yes.
Mock the draft.
Oh. I do too, actually.
I don't even know what I'm hoping for. Obviously,
nor do I.
It's going to be
the beauty of the bit.
It's going to be terrible and beautiful and
beautiful and terrible. It's great. It's exactly
together.
That's exactly it's so well put. The Ben's mock the draft. Yeah, where Ben comes in and makes just the worst jokes that
awful.
You've ever heard.
I mean, some of them are truly, truly bad this year.
Really?
I've locked it down. I've got my pick set. We do the top 10, and I'll have a special surprise as well.
Oh, he loves the special. He really gives a lot of effort. He started working on this like 3 weeks ago, by the way.
Yeah.
So when you hear it,
I mean, like,
this is not cobbled together morning
of. But it'll sound cobbled together morning of. Some of them will be so bad that you thought, did you just cobble that together this morning?
Yeah, these have all been workshopped.
I just searched my email. I found Ben's picks from last year.
Yeah.
Let's see. Number two, the Houston Texans drafting Keanu Benton, defensive tackle from Wisconsin. Ben said, quote from embattled Texans general manager, watching the film, I love this guy's speed, or maybe I loved him in speed. Either way, this pick will make our draft or point break our draft. Keanu Benton.
I do have to take some liberties
with the actual players.
Yes.
And where they'll actually be drafted.
And they all are actual real draft prospects.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of them, though, may be projected very deep in the draft, and I kind of have to increase their draft stock a little bit just to get them in. I have to change teams often, which is a nightmare for Paul because I have to make trades so the right team
has to get
ends up with the right player to make the correct pun and joke for it to work because it doesn't work on certain other teams.
We talked about it a little bit yesterday, how I've gone through years of first round NFL draft archives to pull just one team or one word, like
one
Roger
word.
Goodell saying with the fourth pick,
it's so good.
Here's a trade. This is from last year. We did when I pulled it. I saved it all.
The Indianapolis Colts have traded the fourth pick to the Dallas Cowboys. With the fourth pick, in the NFL draft.
The Dallas Cowboys select.
And then Ben makes
and
his
then Ben makes his so, thing. So tomorrow at 7, yes. we're going to do this.
We added a visual element of a backdrop last year. Yeah. Will we be able to do that again?
We will.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, yeah, 7 o'clock tomorrow. We got a busy show tomorrow with Adam Jones and Brett Boone.
Will you be drunk like Roger Goodell usually is?
Probably, because I'm also leaving on vacation tomorrow.
Yeah, but you're driving like a dummy.
No, I won't be actually drunk, okay. but I'll be drunk with
excitement?
Excitement and distraction and anticipation.
Staring down the barrel of like a good, solid 6-hour drive after you get off the air. All packed up, ready to go?
Last couple of, you know, mostly packed up.
Clubs clean? Do you clean?
Yes.
Yeah.
That's nice a good and fresh and ready to go.
That's a good
changed
bit.
Out towels just so everything. I've got some nice clean golf towels to take with me.
Plenty of balls.
Stocked up with balls, ready to go.
Man, you
tees.
Are going to be.
I should be set.
Singles?
No.
Oh. Might need singles.
I actually do have to go to the bank today, but it won't be for singles.
For cash?
Yes. Well, it is Las Vegas golf, and there is a gambling element to this tournament that I'm in.
Sure.
I'm going to need at least a couple of $100 bills.
What's your... Now, your buddy Scott, he'll play for big money. He has big money, so he plays for big money.
He doesn't mind. We play for fairly small stakes with each other, but right. he'll play bigger stakes if you ask him to. He has no qualms about upping the ante.
I bet you're excited.
Yeah, there's like a buy-in for the tournament.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like 800 a team. So we're going to split that up.
Okay.
Hopefully we get our money back at least. And if not, you know, win some by winning our flight or even going on and winning the whole championship.
And you have a free place to stay.
I do.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And you're going to do some poker.
Probably some poker tournament, something in the evening
I
to
love it.
Occupy our time after the golf.
I'm going to need, and you're probably playing golf on Friday early, yeah? I was going to say, like, maybe you could update us. So, maybe leave a voicemail
Voicemail
would be good. Like it's, check in.
It's two-man, it's best ball, and we're playing 9-hole matches against other two-man teams. So I think you play up to like 3 of them a day,
right.
So like 27 Ooh, holes. So
27
keeps,
holes.
Keeps us busy. For throughout the day playing some golf.
It's going to be fun.
For sure.
That's a dream for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you.
So I saw this posted on social media yesterday about Manny Machado. And I was actually pretty amazed by this. I want to bring it up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So as you know, Manny Machado went on the paternity list yesterday. And we're still waiting news on Manny Machado. And hopefully...
Manny Machado.
Yeah.
I like it.
little Manny, Manny Machado.
Yeah, Manny Machado.
Yeah, joining the world. We haven't heard any official news yet, but Bryce Harper was also placed on paternity leave yesterday.
That's wild.
At the very same time. And it was, and this was actually old, you pointed out, but I saw this going around. There are many, many similarities between Manny and Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
You know, they're the same age. Same height, drafted in the same year, first round draft picks, debuted in the same year. Both were 19 years old.
Crazy.
When they debuted, they have had very similar paralleling careers their entire way.
Yeah.
And now they're becoming dads, essentially, you know, possibly even on the same day. I haven't heard if Bryce and his wife have had a baby yet. But
I think they have one. I want to say that they
this is their
this
second.
This is their second. So Bryce has the lead there.
They both go on paternity and quite ironically,
they have a 5-year-old.
So this is their second, but quite ironically, they will both likely be back this weekend.
Well,
when the Padres are playing the Phillies at Petco Park,
even two kids.
Even crazier than that, somebody did the math. You know, it's very loose math, but they went back and traced potential dates of conception because people are weird. Yeah, it's more like 10 when it's all said and done. It was when the Padres were in Philadelphia playing the Phillies. So, I mean, let your imagination run wild there. I mean, the similarities are quite striking between the two. And, you know, I've always been a big Bryce Harper fan. I don't know of anybody. He's one of the guys like LeBron that had gotten so much hype from an early age and has really lived up to all of that hype as well. And I love him. My kids love him. We're going to go see him this weekend, Friday. So hopefully Manny and Bryce are back and feeling that new dad strength, and it'll be cool. You know, it's cool for them. And, we're kind of still waiting to see an update from the Machados or Yonder, who's usually pretty good about updating Uncle Yonder.
I mean,
he's pretty stoked.
Whose career would you take so far? Obviously, Bryce got the World Series title.
Yeah.
But
he got an MVP, too, I think.
Yeah, Manny's been up there in the voting many, many times. Very close, though, really. Incredibly similar careers.
That's like, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. I want the ring, though, right? I want the ring, for sure. I want the ring. I want...
He wasn't on that World Series.
Oh, that's right.
He already left. He didn't get it. He didn't get it.
It was the year after he left.
He got to the World Series with the Phillies, but they did not win that one.
That's right.
He got to the series.
22, they got there, but
did not win it.
The Nationals won it the year after, which was even more remarkable.
Such a bummer. That's a good question. They're both great, man. I've really enjoyed watching both of them play baseball. They're different players entirely. They're different skill sets. You know, you take the way Bryce plays, and then you take Manny plays completely different. But give me Manny's glove, give me Bryce's left-handed swing.
Yeah,
it's perfect
defensively.
Baseball
obviously, Manny has the huge edge. You know, Bryce has probably had a couple of bigger moments in recent years just because he's been insanely hot a couple of playoffs now.
Bryce got a couple MVPs. That's pretty good.
Yeah. But actually very similar. It's really interesting, the comparison between the two. And one of the reasons, again, why this Rockies series is so important for the Padres is the schedule gets tough right away again as the Padres return home to face the Phillies and the Reds on their next homestand. So this weekend, three against the Phillies, who are playing really well. They shut out the Reds yesterday 7-0. Ranger Suarez has pitched 25 consecutive scoreless innings. Did it again yesterday, and I believe, if I am not mistaken, he is lined up to face the Padres on Saturday against Dylan Cease in his next outing. So you've got two of the hottest pitchers in the National League set to go up against each other, possibly with Bryce and Manny both returning to their teams. If you don't have your tickets yet, I don't even know if any are available this weekend. I suggest you make plans to get out to Petco Park for what should be a really exciting series. It should be Musgrove Nola in the first game, Cease Suarez in the second game, and then and Michael King, who pitches today, should pitch on Sunday against Taiwan Walker. So a very interesting series. They will miss, it looks like, Zach Wheeler in the series. They'll face Nola in the first game, but they'll miss Wheeler. So big homestand. The Reds, obviously a team kind of that hoping to have some playoff aspirations. And I believe if it still lines up, and it's a little far out now, but we may see Nick Martinez at the end of that series as well for the Cincinnati Reds at the end of the Padres' next homestand when they come back. So, I mean, I'm not saying you can't win both of those series, but this is why this series against the Colorado Rockies now is big, because the Padres are in a tough part of the schedule. Then they go at the Diamondbacks and at the Chicago Cubs and then home against the Dodgers again.
Jesus.
So five more series against, you know, potential playoff contenders coming up after these four games against the Colorado Rockies. It really is a tough start to the season. And then they get Colorado at home. Guess what after that? At Atlanta, at Cincinnati, and the New York Yankees coming to Petco Park.
It's the NL this year is so strong.
April, May has been a really challenging stretch, and then things lighten up a little bit for a while. You've got some Marlins and Angels games and Oakland A's games coming up, but the first 2 months of the year, schedule makers did no favors for the San Diego Padres, and so far they've held their own.
They have
with a 13-12 record.
And you know, a lot of the teams in the NL, man, are playing well. You got in the East, Benny, you got four teams double digit wins already, including the Washington Nationals and the Mets, who looked left for dead the first week or two of the season. They've rallied. You know, they're 6-4 in their last 10. So you got, there's only two teams in the NL that have, you know, that don't have double digit wins. It's the Rockies and it's the Marlins right now. So it is, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be a really, really long, tough season. So they're playing well enough right now. Certainly you'd love to see them get a little bit of a lead here by beating a team like the Rockies at least two more times.
Had some complaints on my Twitter feed last night from fans who thought the Padres were swinging for the fences too much.
I didn't see any of that
in the game against the Rockies. I didn't make that observation.
I did not
either. They got plenty of hits. They got runners on base.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of the inability to drive them in at the key clutch moments, that issue that we've seen before with the San Diego Padres. And hopefully you just continue to put guys on base. You're eventually going to score some runs. It felt like it didn't happen last year, yet this is how it should work. If you get 10 opportunities with runners in scoring position, even if you're flailing around a little bit, eventually a chopper like Jackson Merrills is going to get through, or Tyler Wade's going to, you know, line one into right field. You put yourself in enough situations, you're going to score some runs.
You know, and the swinging for the fences thing, listen, there may be, when a guy's throwing 89, topping out his fastball at 89, and you're playing in Coors Field, why wouldn't you try to let it eat? He's throwing 89, he's going to top out at 89 miles an hour. You get a fastball, why wouldn't you try to let it eat at Coors Field every time? Like, that's, you're there, the balls seem different. We smoked some balls, I thought, early, and I thought, oh man, like, that ball's just not carrying for some weird reason. But yeah, man, if Austin Gomber's on the bump and I'm a right-handed hitter, you can rest assured I'm coming out of my shoes my first two fastballs I see, and the next one I'm going to try to get a knock.
I also had someone who asked if I thought whether Fernando Tatis Jr. should have had an inside-the-park home run on that ball that bounced off the right field's fence and got away.
Yeah.
He wasn't, like, booking it out of the box. He definitely, I didn't see how long
probably
he waited,
it was gone.
But he took a second to, like, see where it was going, and then obviously hit high gear as he was rounding first, going second to third, and he didn't have to slide. I mean, he rounded third and eventually got the stop sign going around third base. I don't think you would have sent him in that situation. It felt like they already had the ball corralled by the time he even got to third, even if he had an extra two or three steps because he had gotten off to a quicker start out of the box. I don't think that was going to be an inside-the-park home run. Those are so, so rare for a reason.
Yeah, the throw was off, as Tony makes a point, but you can't.
I think they should have sent Tatis
early,
on
yes.
Jurickson Profar's single. Yeah, that throw was
Tim,
off.
Tim Leaper? He's had some questionable holds early in the season. Probably just trying, you know, want to make sure you don't run out of an inning there.
Especially at Coors Field.
Coors Field, yeah, it makes sense to me.
So,
hey, we won. Let's stop complaining about a nice win.
Paulie's got some audio for us as we come back from his production work yesterday.
I love this
involving
so much.
Annie. It's coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan. I always get a little bit nervous day before.
Yes.
Mock the draft.
Oh, I do too, actually.
I don't even know what I'm hoping for. Obviously, it's going to be
the beauty of the bit.
It's going to be terrible,
yeah.
And beautiful, and
yeah, beautiful, terrible. It's great. It's exactly
together.
That's exactly. It's so well put. The Ben's mock the draft. Yeah, where Ben comes in and makes just the worst jokes
just
that
awful.
You've ever heard.
I mean, some of them are truly, truly bad this year.
Really?
I've locked it down. I've got my pick set. We do the top 10, and I'll have a special surprise as well.
Oh, he loves the special. He really gives a lot of effort. He started working on this like 3 weeks ago, by the way.
Yeah.
So when you hear it,
I mean, like,
this is not cobbled together morning
of. But it'll sound cobbled together morning of. Some of them will be so bad that you thought, did you just cobble that together this morning?
Yeah, these have all been workshopped.
I just searched my email. I found Ben's picks from last year.
Yeah.
Let's see. Number two, the Houston Texans drafting Keanu Benton, defensive tackle from Wisconsin. Ben said, quote from embattled Texans general manager, watching the film, I love this guy's speed, or maybe I loved him in speed. Either way, this pick will make our draft or point break our draft. Keanu Benton.
I do have to take some liberties
with the actual players.
Yes.
And where they'll actually be drafted.
And they all are actual real draft prospects.
Yes. Yeah.
Some of them, though, may be projected very deep in the draft, and I kind of have to increase their draft stock a little bit just to get them in. I have to change teams often, which is a nightmare for Paul because I have to make trades so the right team
has to get
ends up with the right player to make the correct pun and joke for it to work because it doesn't work on certain other teams.
We talked about it a little bit yesterday, how I've gone through years of first round NFL draft archives to pull just one team or one word, like
one
Roger
word.
Goodell saying with the fourth pick, the you know.
Yeah, it's so good.
Here's
it's
a trade. This is from last year we did when I pulled it. I save it all.
The Indianapolis Colts have traded the fourth pick to the Dallas Cowboys. With the fourth pick in the NFL draft.
The Dallas Cowboys select.
And then Ben makes
his thing. So tomorrow at 7, we're going to do this.
We added a visual element of a backdrop last year. Yeah. Will we be able to do that again?
We will.
Oh, yeah. All right. So, yeah, 7 o'clock tomorrow. We got a busy show tomorrow with Adam Jones and Brett Boone.
Will you be drunk like Roger Goodell usually is?
Probably, because I'm also leaving on vacation tomorrow.
Yeah, but you're driving like a dummy.
No, I won't be actually drunk, but I'll be drunk with
excitement.
Excitement and distraction and anticipation.
Staring down the barrel of like a good, solid 6-hour drive after you get off the air. All packed up, ready to go?
Last couple of, mostly packed up.
Clubs cleaned? Do you clean
your...
Yeah.
That's nice, a good fresh and ready bit. To go.
That's a good
changed
bit.
Out towels, just so everything. I've got some nice clean golf towels to take with me.
Plenty of balls.
Stocked up with balls, ready to go.
Man, you
tees.
Are going to be...
I should be set.
Singles?
No.
Oh. Might need singles.
I actually do have to go to the bank today, but it won't be for singles.
For cash?
Yes. Well, it is Las Vegas golf, and there is a gambling element to this tournament that I'm in.
Sure.
So I'm going to need at least a couple of $100 bills.
What's your... Now, your buddy Scott, he'll play for big money. He has big money, so he plays for big money.
He doesn't mind. We play for fairly small stakes with each other, but he'll play bigger stakes if you ask him to. He has no qualms about upping the ante.
I bet you're so excited.
Yeah, there's like a buy-in for the tournament.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's like 800 a team. So we're going to split that up.
Okay.
Hopefully we get our money back at least. And if not, win some by winning our flight or even going on and winning the whole championship.
And you have a free place to stay.
I do.
Which is great.
Yeah.
And you're going to do some poker.
Probably some poker tournament, something in the evening.
I love it.
Occupy our time after the golf.
I'm going to need, and you're probably playing golf on Friday early, yeah? I was going to say, maybe you could update us. Maybe leave a voicemail?
I will try to leave a voicemail.
Voicemail would be good.
So it's two-man, it's best ball, and we're playing 9-hole matches against other two-man teams. So I think you play up to like 3 of them a day,
right.
So like 27 holes. So
27 holes.
Keeps us busy. For throughout the day playing some golf.
It's going to be fun.
For sure.
That's a dream for you.
Yeah.
Well, I'm happy for you.
So I saw this posted on social media yesterday about Manny Machado. And I was actually pretty amazed by this. I want to bring it up right after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan. So as you know, Manny Machado went on the paternity list yesterday. And we're still waiting news on Manny Machado. And hopefully...
Manny Machado.
Yeah.
I like it.
little Manny, Manny Machado.
Yeah, Manny Machado.
Yeah, joining the world. We haven't heard any official news yet, but Bryce Harper was also placed on paternity leave yesterday.
That's wild.
At the very same time. And it was, and this was actually old, you pointed out, but I saw this going around. There are many, many similarities between Manny and Bryce Harper.
Yeah.
They're the same age. Same height, drafted in the same year, first round draft picks, debuted in the same year. Both were 19 years old.
Crazy.
When they debuted, they have had very similar paralleling careers their entire way.
Yeah.
And now they're becoming dads, essentially, possibly even on the same day. I haven't heard if Bryce and his wife have had a baby yet.
I think they have one. I want to say that they
this is their second.
This is their second. So Bryce has the lead there.
They both go on paternity and quite ironically,
5 years old. They have a 5-year-old.
So this is their second, but quite ironically, they will both likely be back this weekend.
Well,
when the Padres are playing the Phillies at Petco Park,
even
crazier than that. Somebody did the math. It's very loose math, but they went back and traced potential dates of conception because
9
people
months?
Are weird. Yeah, it's more like 10. When it's all said and done, it was when the Padres were in Philadelphia playing the Phillies. So, I mean, let your imagination run wild there. I mean, the similarities are quite striking between the two. And, I've always been a big Bryce Harper fan. I don't know of anybody. He's one of the guys like LeBron that had gotten so much hype from an early age and has really lived up to all of that hype as well. And I love him. My kids love him. We're going to go see him this weekend, Friday. So hopefully Manny and Bryce are back and feeling that new dad strength, and it'll be cool. It's cool for them. And we're kind of still waiting to see an update from the Machados or Yonder, who's usually pretty good about updating Uncle Yonder.
Pretty
stoked.
Whose career would you take so far? Obviously, Bryce got the World Series title.
Yeah.
But
he got an MVP, too, I think.
Yeah. Manny's been up there in the voting many times. Very close, though, really. Incredibly similar careers.
That's like, you know, six of one, half dozen of the other. I want the ring, though, right? I want the ring, for sure. I want the ring. I want...
He wasn't on that World Series.
Oh, that's right. He already left. He didn't get it.
It was the year after he left.
He got to the World Series with the Phillies, but they did not win that one.
That's right.
He got to the series.
22, they got there, but
did not win it.
Nationals won it the year after, which was even more remarkable.
Such a bummer. Man, it's a good question. It's a good question. They're both great, man. I've really enjoyed watching both of them play baseball. They're different players entirely. They have different skill sets. You know, you take the way Bryce plays, and then you take the Manny plays completely different. But give me Manny's glove, give me Bryce's left-handed swing.
Yeah,
it's perfect
defensively.
Baseball player.
Obviously, Manny has the huge edge. You know, Bryce has probably had a couple of bigger moments in recent years just because he's been insanely hot a couple of playoffs now.
Bryce got a couple MVPs. That's pretty good.
Yeah. But actually very similar. It's really interesting, the comparison between the two. And one of the reasons, again, why this Rockies series is so important for the Padres is the schedule gets tough right away again as the Padres return home to face the Phillies and the Reds on their next homestand. So this weekend, three against the Phillies, who are playing really well. They shut out the Reds yesterday 7-0. Ranger Suarez has pitched 25 consecutive scoreless innings. Did it again yesterday, and I believe, if I am not mistaken, he is lined up to face the Padres on Saturday against Dylan Cease in his next outing. So you've got two of the hottest pitchers in the National League set to go up against each other, possibly with Bryce and Manny both returning to their teams. If you don't have your tickets yet, I don't even know if any are available this weekend. I suggest you make plans to get out to Petco Park for what should be a really exciting series. It should be Musgrove Nola in the first game, C. Suarez in the second game, and then and Michael King, who pitches today, should pitch on Sunday against Taiwan Walker. So, very interesting series. They will miss, it looks like,
Wheeler.
Zach Wheeler in the series. They'll face Nola in the first game, but they'll miss Wheeler. So, big homestand. The Reds, obviously, a team kind of that hoping to have some playoff aspirations, and I believe if it still lines up, and it's a little far out now, but we may see Nick Martinez at the end of that series as well for the Cincinnati Reds at the end of the Padres' next homestand when they come back. So, I mean, I'm not saying you can't win both of those series, but this is why this series against the Colorado Rockies now is big, because the Padres are in a tough part of the schedule. Then they go at the Diamondbacks and at the Chicago Cubs and then home against the Dodgers again. So five more series against, you know, potential playoff contenders coming up after these four games against the Colorado Rockies. It really is a tough start to the season. And then they get Colorado at home. Guess what after that? At Atlanta, at Cincinnati, and the New York Yankees coming to Petco Park.
The NL this year is so strong.
April, May has been a really challenging stretch, and then things lighten up a little bit for a while. You've got some Marlins and Angels games and Oakland A's games coming up, but the first 2 months of the year, schedule makers did no favors for the San Diego Padres, and so far they've held their own.
They have
with a 13-12 record,
and you know, a lot of the teams in the NL, man, are playing well. You got in the East, Benny, you got four teams double digit wins already, including the Washington Nationals and the Mets, who looked left for dead the first week or two of the season. They've rallied. You know, they're 6-4 in their last 10. So you got, there's only two teams in the NL that have, you know, that don't have double digit wins. It's the Rockies and it's the Marlins right now. So it is, it's going to be tough, man. It's going to be a really, really long, tough season. So they're playing well enough right now, certainly. You'd love to see them get a little bit of a lead here by beating a team like the Rockies at least two more times.
Had some complaints on my Twitter feed last night from fans who thought the Padres were swinging for the fences too much.
I didn't see any of that
in the game against the Rockies. I didn't make that observation.
I did not
either. They got plenty of hits. They got runners on base.
Yeah.
It was just a matter of the inability to drive them in at the key clutch moments, that issue that we've seen before with the San Diego Padres. And hopefully you just continue to put guys on base. You're eventually going to score some runs. It felt like it didn't happen last year, yet this is how it should work. If you get 10 opportunities with runners in scoring position, even if you're flailing around a little bit, eventually a chopper like Jackson Merrills is going to get through, or Tyler Wade's going to, you know, line one into right field. You put yourself in enough situations, you're going to score some runs.
You know, and the swinging for the fences thing, listen, there may be, when a guy's throwing 89, topping out his fastball at 89, and you're playing in Coors Field, why wouldn't you try to let it eat? He's throwing 89. He's going to top out at 89 miles an hour. You get a fastball. Why wouldn't you try to let it eat at Coors Field every time? Like, that's, you're there. The balls seem different. We smoked some balls, I thought, early, and I thought, oh man, like, that ball's just not carrying for some weird reason. But yeah, man, if Austin Gomber's on the bump and I'm a right-handed hitter, you can rest assured I'm coming out of my shoes my first two fastballs I see, and the next one I'm going to try to get a knock.
I also had someone who asked if I thought whether Fernando Tatis Jr. should have had an inside-the-park home run on that ball that bounced off the right field fence and got away.
Yeah.
He wasn't, like, booking it out of the box. He definitely, I didn't see how long
probably
he waited, but he took a second to, like, see where it was going, and then obviously hit high gear as he was rounding first, going second to third, and he didn't have to slide. I mean, he rounded third and eventually got the stop sign going around third base. I don't think you would have sent him in that situation. It felt like they already had the ball corralled by the time he even got to third, even if he had an extra two or three steps because he had gotten off to a quicker start out of the box. I don't think that was going to be an inside-the-park home run. Those are so, so rare for a reason.
Yeah, the throw was off, as Tony makes a point, but you can't.
I think they should have sent Tatis early, on Jurickson Profar's single. Yeah, that throw was off.
Tim Leeper? He's had some questionable holds early in the season. Probably just trying, you know, want to make sure you don't run out of an inning there.
Especially at Coors Field.
Coors Field, yeah, it makes sense to me. So, hey, we won. Let's stop complaining about a nice win.
Paulie's got some audio for us as we come back from his production work yesterday.
I love this
involving
so much.
Annie. It's coming up next year on 97.3 The Fan.